All right, good morning again. Every week, a few more wake up, you know, in the morning, and we're ready, right? All right, if you'll turn to Acts chapter 1, your Bibles, and stand if you're able to stand for the reading of the Word of God. We're going to start in verse 1 of Acts chapter 1. Says, the former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thankful for your word. We're thankful for this message that Jesus gave before he ascended back to heaven. Father, I pray that we would learn some things from this that we would apply to our lives, that we would take out and share with others, that they too would know. I pray, Father, that you would speak to each heart this morning personally. I pray again that you would give me the very words to preach. And I thank you for what you're going to accomplish this morning. And we'll not fail to give you all the praise, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Have you ever thought of all the millions of books that have been written over the years? Why there are still so many questions that people ask that have no answers? I mean, there's books everywhere. I used to call the Christian bookstore a misnomer, because you go to the Christian bookstore and they have the self-help section. Brother Fred's mentioned this before too. The self-help section. Why are we looking for self-help? We have help. The Lord Jesus Christ is our help. And so we don't need all that stuff. And I'm not down on books. I think there's some good books out there, and you should be in some good books. But you need to keep in mind that this book, the Word of God, is the most important book that you could have. And we need to be in it and studying it and knowing what it says so that we can apply those things to our life, and then we'll know. I've had people tell me in the past, well, you must have read this book or that book. No, I just read the Bible. Well, you teach the same thing they do. Well, then they got it from the Bible. Because that's where I get my stuff, is from the Bible. So we need to do that. The largest library in the world is the Library of Congress in Washington, D.C. It has over 173 million items. That's as of 2024. That amazing? Yeah. They have such things in there as, I like this one, why is the third hand on a watch called the second hand? Pretty interesting, huh? Why does slow down and slow up mean the same thing? I like this one. Why does fat chance and slim chance mean the same thing? Why do we sing, take me out to the ball game when we're already there? Why do overlook and oversee mean opposite things? This is my favorite. If work is so terrific, why do they have to pay you to do it? Good question, huh? But our libraries are filled with books, tons of books. But with all these unanswered questions, I guess we just need some more books, right? Or we need less mind-boggling questions, right? But the Bible, the book of all books, that's what we need. The Bible stands out among all of the books that have ever been written. The Bible stands out. We call it God's Word. We call it the Good Book. We call it the Holy Scriptures. We call it the Sword of the Spirit, right? Had somebody a few weeks ago say, yeah, I take my weapon with me everywhere I go. Is that your weapon? And of course, I'm thinking, you know, a concealed carry permit, and they're carrying their weapon. It says, the Bible, the Sword of the Spirit. I take it everywhere I go. But praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for that. The book of books, we even call it, the living word, and the miracle book. All these are fitting titles for it. But I like to think of it as our personal library that God has given to us to help answer all the questions in life. Again, I've been told, you know, well, you must have read this book because that's straight from that book. No, you read the Bible. The Bible has the answers to the questions that we have about life. It'll tell you about all kinds of things. I got my financial perspective from the Bible. People say you're cheap. No, I just follow God's Word. And maybe I am cheap. I have to admit, there are times when I am cheap. But I want to be a good steward with what He's entrusted us with. The book of Acts is different from any of the books of the Old and the New Testament. And one of the unique things about the books of Acts, it tells us about the last appearance of the Lord before He ascended back to heaven. Generally, when somebody knows that they have a short time left on the earth, they choose their words very carefully. I know that if I only had a few moments left on this earth, I would want my wife next to me. I would want her there, and I would want to tell her that I thank God for giving me such a wonderful wife. And then I'd throw in something that I'm going to get in trouble for later. I love you more. It's one of those things we throw back and forth all the time. I love you more. No, I love you more. No, I love you more. And we go back and forth, and it's just one of those things we do. I'd want my girls and their families beside me so I could tell them how much I appreciate them and appreciate the times that we had together. Good friends that have stuck with me through thick and thin. I'd want them to be there so I could let them know how much they mean to me. The point I'm trying to make here is that when we know we have short time left, we choose our words wisely. And we say the things that are most important. Jesus, when He spoke His last words, He chose His words carefully. Carefully. One of the things He told them to do was wait. Wait patiently. Look at verses 4 and 5 of our text this morning. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Wait patiently. He's saying, wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit. Wait. The Lord's telling him, you need to wait. You need to wait. Now, I've heard people say, I love to fish, I love to hunt, I love sports, I love reading, I love going to the mall. I heard people say all kinds of stuff like that, but not once have I ever heard anybody say, I love to wait. Not once has anybody ever said, I love to wait. We want everything now. Even when we pray for patience, we want them now. Isn't it interesting how praying for patience and we're not willing to wait for them? We want it now. I think the only people that love to wait are some drivers. And we had one this morning, and I thought it was funny. They went whizzing by me, and we get up to the traffic light, and I said, well, that's the car that sped past us. I said, and they're sitting at the same traffic light waiting just like we are. I think there's a lot of drivers out there that just can't wait to get to the next red light to stop and wait for the green light to come on. I'm thinking they must love to wait, because why are you in such a hurry to get to the next red light? I think they've got the red and green lights mixed up. We did have one this morning that didn't understand that a stop sign meant stop because he came right through it. I'm not sure he slowed down much. He just whipped right through it. Most of us know that red means red and we need to stop, and we know that that means we have to patiently wait for the green light to come back on. But generally, waiting is not something that we enjoy to do. Jesus asked them to wait in Jerusalem until the promise of the power to meet all that lay ahead of them. They were to wait. The disciples were obedient to the command, and their obedience was rewarded. They were given that power. It had been 50 days, nearly 2 months, since the resurrection had taken place. But they waited at Jerusalem, as Jesus had commanded them to. He said, wait. And they waited. And because they waited, they experienced the power of God in their lives, like they'd never experienced it before. One of my favorite Bible verses is Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. And in case you're wondering, I have a lot of favorites. It'd be hard to just pick out one, right? I know a lot of people say, what's your favorite verse? How much time do you have? There's a bunch of them. But Isaiah 40, 31 says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Wait. Wait. Over and over and over. Wait. But they that wait upon the Lord. The word rendered, wait upon, here means in the sense of expecting. It does not mean inactivity. I sometimes wonder if we, as God's children, think that when he says wait, we're supposed to sit around twiddling our thumbs. No, we're supposed to wait, and while we're waiting, we're supposed to be about our Father's business. Just like Jesus came and he said, did you not know I had to be about my Father's business when his parents came back looking for him? Where are you? What are you doing? What are you doing, right? Don't you know I must be about my Father's business? We have a job to do while we wait. Many people think waiting just is being inactive. No, we have a job to do while we're waiting. Part of the fruit of the Spirit And let me say, fruit of the Spirit. I've heard that said so many times, the fruits of the Spirit. No, it's the fruit of the Spirit. We as Christians are expected to bear fruit. And one of the fruit, one of the items in the fruit of the Spirit is long-suffering. Patience. Wow. There is nothing as unbecoming in Christians as our impatience. It's amazing. One of the most becoming things to us as Christians is to bear the fruit of patience before a lost and dying world. I tell you, in society where time is often more valuable than currency anymore, it's amazing. Being kept waiting often feels like we're being robbed of something that is so valuable that we can never get back. I always say, and it's amazing because there's still 24 hours in a day, 7 days a week and all that, but I always say, man, that day went by so fast. No, it was the same 24 hours. Time seems to be going by so quickly. I said the other day when my brother turned 60, my youngest brother turned 60, my youngest sister will be 60 next year, and they said, yeah, she has a whole year to go. And I said, she'll blink and it'll be here. It just is, things are going so fast, it seems. Now, it's the same amount of time. It just seems to us that it's going faster. And we don't like to lose all that time. So remember, we choose our words carefully when we know that we're not going to be here much longer. One of the last things the Lord told his disciples to do was wait. Wait. So why were they told to wait? The Lord knew he wasn't going to be around much longer. He was going away, and he had a going away present for them. Look at verses 4 and 5 again. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. They were to wait until they were baptized by the Holy Ghost. They knew about John's baptism. They knew all about that. They didn't know anything about this baptism that they were about to partake in. Let me say this. It pays to learn at the feet of Jesus. It pays to learn at the feet of Jesus. I many times have heard that people go off to Bible college, seminary, whatever you want to call it. Different denominations have different words for it. And they come back and they're messed up. Messed up. Some, it doesn't mess them up. Others, it does. I don't know what the difference is. I don't know. I can't explain it. But I can say it is really good and very beneficial to learn at the feet of Jesus. I remember years ago, and I'm not against education at all. I'm not. I went through quite a bit of different stuff. I didn't actually go to Bible college, but I went to different things through different programs, Bible Institute, Faith, Master Life. I went through several things and learned a lot. I still know very little, but I learned a lot. And I thank God for it. But one person questioned one time the fact that I didn't go off to Bible college. And one of the ladies that was sitting there at the table wrote a note on a piece of paper and slid it over to me. And she said, but you learned at the feet of Jesus. Let me say, it's always a good thing to learn at the feet of Jesus. We need to be learning from our Savior.
A lot of times people don't wait because they have more important things to do. What could be more important than waiting on the Lord? Waiting for the direction from the Lord. What could be more important? Well, this is important and that's important. We all got... Everybody has things in their life that's important, right? It's what's important to you that you put at the top of the list. And some people say, well, it's just not important. It's not important to learn at the feet of Jesus. It's not important to spend time in church. It's not important to... Well, if it's important to you, you find time to do it. Remember Mary and Martha? Yeah. Martha had the attitude that it was a waste of time to patiently sit at the feet of Jesus. There was more important things, right? We got things that need to be done. My sister needs to help me. Jesus said she has chosen that which is more important. She chose the more needful thing. She had chosen the good part. Let me say, we are never wasting time when we're at the feet of Jesus. Never wasting time at the feet of Jesus. One of the most important things we can do is spend time learning from Him. And that's why the devil does not mind you reading all kinds of books. He doesn't care if you read all kinds of magazines. He doesn't care if you play on the computer or your smartphone for that matter. He doesn't care if you talk on the phone all day. He doesn't care about any of that stuff. He doesn't even care if you watch TV. But He doesn't want you in the Word of God. He doesn't want you learning anything about the Word of God. Let me just say this. He'll do everything He can to keep you from learning at the feet of Jesus. He doesn't want anybody to know the truth. We live in a fast-paced world, rushing through life. We need to recognize the importance of taking some time and learning at the feet of Jesus. One of the things the Lord told His disciples was to wait patiently. But as we wait patiently, we're to worry not. Worry is one of those things that everybody seems to get wrapped up in. Well, I'm worried about this. What if this happens? Or what if that happens? And what? Well, why don't you wait till it happens and then deal with it then? Instead of worrying yourself to death over whether or not it may or may not happen. God didn't tell us to worry about everything. In fact, the Bible says, lots of places, fret not. And yet we worry about all kinds of things. Look at verses 6 and 7 from our text. It says, when they therefore were come together, they asked of Him, saying, Lord, wilt Thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And He said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in His own power. Don't worry about that stuff. Not for you to need to worry about that. Said to worry. I mean to wait. But instead of just waiting, we can wait and worry. Why just wait when you can worry as well, right? The Lord could tell that the disciples were worried about the times and the seasons when Israel would be restored. He told them, there are just some things we don't need to know. I've said many times, there's things in the Bible that it just doesn't tell us. And then people come up with their own ideas of what it's supposed to say. No, it's not supposed to say anything that it didn't say. God gave us what he wants us to know. If he didn't tell us certain things, it's because we don't need to know. The old story, you know, it's on a need-to-know basis, and you don't need to know, right? Well, some things we don't need to know. If we needed to know them, God would have told us. So there's some things we just worry about. Well, what if this or what if that? We don't need to worry. Is our trust in Almighty God? Then we don't need to worry. We're forced to wait. But this matter of worry is a choice that we make. We choose to worry or choose not to worry. It's up to us. We get to make that choice. The Lord could tell the disciples were worried about restoring the kingdom of Israel. It's amazing the amount of people who worry about things that they just don't know that the Bible teaches. I've had some people say, well, I didn't know the Bible taught that. Well, sometimes it helps to read it. And not just once, right? There's a lot of times I read through the Word of God and I go, wow, that's interesting. When did that get in there? Well, the first 100 times or so through it, I didn't need it. Then all of a sudden I need that morsel. So you need to be in it all the time. It's amazing. God just brings to light the things that you need when you need them. So we need to be in the Word. It's amazing. Some people have no worries about what they know it does teach. But do you know one thing? Worry has never solved a problem. You can worry about it all you want. It doesn't solve anything. Doesn't change anything. Except for maybe your health. Before we get to this next point, I want to remind us that the Lord chose to spoke these things before he ascended back to heaven. Are we waiting patiently? Worry not. And then he said, witness everywhere. Witness everywhere. Yeah. He wanted us to know before he ascended back to the Father that he was concerned about the lost. Jesus wanted him to go witness to the lost everywhere. Yeah. He knew that he was going away. He knew he would no longer be on this earth to witness to people, so he sent the disciples, go out and witness everywhere. Everywhere. Yeah. He sends us in his place. Verse 8 of our text, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. I've had some missionaries in churches I've been in, and they said, we believe we've actually been to the uttermost part of the earth. These people are so backwoods, they are so away from anything that is modern, that we think we've been to the uttermost part of the world. And then God sends them another place. And they say, okay, now we've been to the uttermost part of the world, right? No, God wants his word to go to everyone. Everyone. I like when we have missionaries, they talk about, we're going up into the jungles and the hillsides and everything, and we're finding little, like, communes of people here, there, and everywhere, and we're witnessing to them. Isn't that amazing? They didn't even know they were there. Here they are. God's sending us to places that we have no idea where we're going, but God knows there's people there. And they need the gospel. So he's sending people out to those areas. It's amazing how God knows. We don't know, but God knows. Look at 9 through 11.
And when he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, so shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven.
Today, the modern-day church is so concerned about so many things, buildings and programs and activities and entertainment. The church needs to be so filled with the Holy Ghost that we're out witnessing in the world. There's a lot of people that are dying and going to hell. We need to have that same concern that Jesus had, that there's lost people that need the truth and we need to be willing to go. They were to wait and be filled with the Holy Spirit. He was concerned about a lost world. The business of God's church is to get the gospel out. We are in the business of witnessing to people. That's what we're supposed to do. Have you ever been in deep thought and someone said, Penny for your thoughts? Well, sometimes it's best not to know what people are thinking. I'm thankful that some people haven't told me exactly what they thought when I'm knocking on their door and they open the door and start yelling at me. I shared just a couple weeks ago when we went out, I had a guy knock on his door and he said, I want to know where you live. Where I live? He said, yeah. He says, I want to come bother you on Saturday morning. I said, well, obviously he doesn't realize on Saturday morning I'm out knocking doors. I'm not home. So you can't bother me on Saturday morning if I'm not there. But I was thankful I had two younger kids with me that he didn't use any foul language. Because sometimes I get that. They don't know what they're rejecting. Jesus knows what they need. Jesus says, you need to go so they can have what they need. If they reject it, that's on them. The Bible's very clear. If we fail to warn them, their blood's on our hands. If we warn them, their blood's on their hands. And we've tried. Brother Dirk and I went a week ago yesterday, and first guy we went to, I think I shared this last week, first guy we went to, he says, I don't need that. But then he proceeded to talk to us for a little while. I thought, well, if we can build a rapport, maybe I can get him to take the tract and the John and Romans. He still wouldn't take it when we left, but I said, he doesn't know what he's missing out on. He doesn't know what he doesn't have. He thinks he doesn't need it. But one day, he will stand before Almighty God, and God will say, I sent those two guys to your house, and you told them you didn't need it. I wonder how many other people have gone to this house, and he's told them the same thing, that God will recall that to him when he stands before him and says, how come nobody told me? Well, because I kept sending people and you told them you didn't need it. I can have a clear conscience knowing I tried. So now what do? We pray for him. We pray that God will send somebody who can get through to him with the truth of the Word of God. There are some amazing things in life. And one of them has to have been when they stood there and watched Jesus ascend back to heaven. Can you imagine? Standing there just gazing as he ascends to heaven. I mean, that had to be an amazing thing. Jesus had just told them they will be witnesses to the ends of the earth. But there they were, standing in amazement, looking into the sky as he went to heaven. Suddenly, two men dressed in white stood beside them and said, "What are you doing standing here looking into the sky? Jesus just told you you're going to be witnesses everywhere. And you're standing here just gazing up into the sky." They're looking up into the sky, wondering where he went. He just told them what they needed to do. God's told us what we need to do. I wonder if we just stand around gazing up in amazement. Basically saying, "Don't worry, I'll be back." Can you imagine? Jesus said, "I'm going," but he's telling, "I'm going to be back." I wonder how many of God's people actually believe he's coming back. We say it, right? We talk about the rapture happening. I mean, I keep saying, can't wait till that trumpet sounds. When that trumpet sounds, I'm out of here. I'm looking forward to it. But in the meantime, said we're to be witnesses. We can't be witnesses if we're just standing there staring up at the sky waiting for him to return. We have work to do. He's given us a program. The program is getting his word to a lost and dying world. It's basically telling them, don't stand there in wonder. Wonder not and get to work. Wonder how many people are dying, spending eternity in hell, eventually cast in the lake of fire for all eternity. And we're thinking, well, I'm on my way to heaven. Can't be concerned about where they're going. It's not what Jesus left us with. Told us to be witnesses. Sometimes it's not easy. Try to witness to people and they don't want to hear it. It's fine. I've had people, "I don't ever want to hear anything about that again from you." Okay, fine. Can't keep me from praying for you. I can pray that God will send more people to your house, to your place of work, to wherever, to share the gospel with you. They can't keep me from praying. But if they reject it, what did Jesus say? Wipe the dust off your sandals and move on. That's all we can do. So Jesus said, wait. Wait. Sometimes we pray and we say, but he's not answering. Are you sure he didn't say wait? Sometimes he does. Sometimes he says no. Think of it this way, when you have little kids and they're, you know, maybe a two-year-old, because we always know the terrible twos, right? Two-year-old, and you tell them no, and they throw a tantrum. Sometimes I wonder if we're like that with God. He says no, and we throw a tantrum till we get our way. Now, if God said no, he meant no. He said wait, you need to wait till he gives you the answer. And we always like the favorite one, right? When he says yes to whatever we ask. Just know that God wants what's best for us, and he's allowing us, his children, to be a part of his work if we'll just humble ourselves and go. All right, let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the fact that Jesus gave them basically what we'd call marching orders. They're to go spread the gospel everywhere. That same command is for us. Father, we thank you for what the Lord Jesus Christ did on our behalf. As he came, humbled himself and came as a babe in a manger, lived his life, shared the truths of the gospel, performed miracles, did so much for so many, and then he laid down his life, took it up again, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Father, I pray again, as always, if there's someone in our midst that has never accepted Christ as Savior, I pray today would be the day. For those who have, are we doing our part? Are we just waiting, staring up into heaven? Or are we waiting patiently as we go about our Father's business? Because we have a time of invitation, we're turning it over to you. For it's in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen. You'll stand with me if you're able. If you're able to stand, we have a time of invitation. If you need to come, you come.